Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
Well, good morning again, MCC. Man, I am so glad to be with you guys this morning. Super excited that you guys chose to spend the last Sunday of this year with us here at MCC. I saw some of my college kids home. I saw Dutro walk in. I saw Jack in the back, gave me a fist bump when I walked in. I saw Connor, who was so very loud a moment ago yelling my name. So I felt obligated to say his name. But I'm so excited for what God is going to do. I'm thankful for our lead pastor, Pastor Phil, and I want all of you guys to remember him in your prayers. He texted me yesterday, and he's not feeling well, so he's not with us this morning. But Pastor Phil, we love you, and we're praying for you, and we know that God's going to do a quick work in your body. So excited and thankful for this opportunity to stand before you guys to break the bread of life in this last Sunday of 2023. I'm really excited about what Holy Spirit is going to do for us and in us today, so we're going to jump right in. Attila, is that okay? All righty. Now, you guys know faith comes by hearing, right? By hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Jesus Christ. The Bible does not say that faith comes by having heard, Mitch, because if faith came by having heard, that means that after we heard the word of God preached one time, Ryan, it would have been efficient for us to experience the fullness, Chuck, of our salvation. But no, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and that's continuously, Arlo, hearing the word of God. So I pray today that you listen for your hearing. Now, if you have your Bibles, and I sure hope you do. Yeah, they weren't ready. They weren't ready today. I want you to read along with us. Okay, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So in this letter here to the Colossians, what the Apostle Paul is doing, he's instructing believers to eliminate some sin, or sin altogether, from their lives. This is not an easy task to accomplish. I'm sure all of us would love to just be sin-free. We think we've really got it, right? But it's not easy, but a challenge that I believe every believer can conquer when we purposely walk with the Lord. So for a few moments today, I want us to ponder the subject, old challenges for a new year. Old challenges for a new year. Listen, 2023 will come to an end later tonight. We thank God that we've made it this far. We pray that he carries us into 2024. And as we stand here on the verge of the beginning of a new year, it is a good time to reflect on what we've experienced this year. But it's also a good time for God's people, that's us, to take inventory of our walk with God. We need to examine ourselves. We need to take a look at where we've been, to look at where we are, and to ask the Lord where he wants us to go. See, oftentimes we make plans and then we ask God to bless them. That's not the order. The order is you pray to God for direction and then you follow. Sometimes he takes you into areas of life that you chose, you wouldn't choose to go, Alan, on your own. You wouldn't say, okay, God, take me the rough way. Yeah, we never asked that. We really wanted to be easy. Like, you know, this God, I'm praying for this. We treat him like a vending machine. God, I want perfect life, F1. But that's not how it works. We should be asking the Lord where he wants us to be. Our text today gives us the opportunity and the challenge to do just that. Let me ask, do you have any guest rooms or spare rooms at the house that have gotten a little cluttered? Yeah, I knew some chuckles there. Husbands, does your wife also own the guest room closet? Don't answer that question. Just look at the cross and no one will know what your answer was going to be. Yeah. One wife is laughing very hard right now. Did you guys hear that? So we already know, right? Are there things in there that need to be stored away, but they seem to have gotten stuck or even abandoned, Miss Peggy, in the guest room? Yeah. Or maybe as the new year approaches, you've already determined, I need to go clean out that shed. Under the stairs has gotten just a little cluttered. Uh-huh. And you've been meaning to clean them out. So, for the new year comes, you decide you want to do it. Maybe you've already started cleaning, or maybe some of you have overachieved and finished. No one laughed then, so I guess most people haven't finished. Uh-huh. But if so, wherever you are, I'm sure that when that time comes, or if you've already done it, there were some things that you came across that you retained. So I was looking for this. I've been looking for this for a long time, right? So you kept it. But I bet you also came across some things that you discarded, never to use again. Frank, as we read these verses of our text today, I find a challenge to God's children to do the exact same thing. Because just like we have physical rooms to clean out in our homes, likewise, we must clean out our spiritual rooms and storage spaces. Mm-hmm. All of those feelings, those habits, those traits, the things that no longer belong in the life of a believer that we struggle through. Yeah, the things we keep secret because as long as we don't tell anyone, it's just for us to walk through. Those things must be cleaned out as well. And as we look at our lives in the light of these verses today, we are challenged to know what things must remain, to know how to separate from some things, and what things must be only remembered. Today, I want to talk through three old challenges. I say old challenges because they aren't new. Mm-hmm. Three old challenges that we as believers must face as we prepare for this new year. Challenge number one, Christ is our foundation. Pastor DJ, that's a challenge. Well, for some it is. Some have conditioned in their mind that Jesus is a certain way when in actuality he's different. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says this. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Spiritually speaking, the Apostle Paul is talking about our spiritual position. Yeah. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, every person who would ever place their faith in him also died that day. But then he reminds us that we also have been raised up with Jesus. Yeah, when he died, we died. But when he rose from the dead, we rose from the dead as well. The Message Bible says it this way. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with all the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Too often we want to see the things as we see them and say, God, am I right? Or am I not right? In other words, if we're serious about this Christian life, we must always pursue a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must always pursue a life of clean living. We must always pursue godly virtues, Tyler. Always. We must always pursue holiness in our domestic and social lives. Ask yourself, do both of my lives match? Would your friends know you're Christian if I went to your job? Would your classmates know you believe in Jesus if I went to your school? Does your playlist, say that I love Jesus or I worship the world? We must always pursue an effective prayer life. Prayer is a weapon. And we must always aim to have a fruitful witness. What do you mean, fruitful witness? That means that the things that I say should add flavor and savor to the lives of the people that I encounter. A fruitful witness is they see me saying and doing things that match. Yeah, I didn't get an amen there, so I'll just keep on going. Church, we are challenged to live out our lives with genuine spiritual values. And as we give our attention to these spiritual and heavenly things, we are enabled to give and a God-honoring life in this world, to live a God-honoring life in this world. Yes, even in this fallen world. In fact, we're called to it. We must allow a heavenly perspective to govern our earthly walk. Let me say that again. We must allow a heavenly perspective to govern our earthly walk. Yes, everything is to be laid out before the Lord. That might seem hard at times, but it is a requirement. We must strive to become heavenly minded. And this is possible because of the Lord's presence in heaven. Right now, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That means that when we pray strange things, it's like he catches it, Danessa. He goes, wait, he said, what did Danessa pray? Oh, wait. Lord, Daddy, this is what she really means. That is where God is sitting. That's where Jesus is sitting, next to the Father, making intercession for us because he cares for us. His desire is to make sure that we communicate well with the Father. So as we prepare to enter a new year, may the Lord help us to realize who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. And may that realization shape our walk for his glory, not for ours. Not for ours, but for his glory. I do nothing except what he allows me to do, Bill. Nothing but whatever he purposes for me to do. I speak the words he would have me to speak. I do the things he would have me to do, lest I fall, because I can't do it on my own. So I ask, when you're cleaning out your home or your garage or your room, you don't throw everything away, right? Right? Like, no. Even the kids are like, no. Right? You keep some things. In fact, the challenge is usually not so much knowing what to keep, but more about knowing what you should keep. Because oftentimes we find a reason to keep everything, right, Tony? It's like something we like, you know, I'll use that. Probably won't be till June, but I'll use it, Jamie. Probably, right? An old challenge in this new coming year is to know what things should remain. Yeah. Christ is our foundation, and we must remember to keep our foundation. Challenge number two, learn to separate some things. Yeah, here's the struggle here. Learn to separate. Things could be friends. Things could be family. Things could be your inner circle or some people in your inner circle. That's a hard thing to consider, but it's a reality nonetheless. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above. This requires separating things above, which are Christ and what honors him, from the things below, which is mostly selfish and only honors ourselves. This is how you set your mind on things above. You must separate the two and understand what it is that you need to be doing and that God has called you to do. Physically speaking, we just don't have room for everything, right? That's why we need to clean some things out. We just don't have room for everything. The challenge, I won't speak about anyone. My wife is sitting on the front row. The challenge about cleaning things out is sometimes feeling like you need to replace the things you cleaned out. Online people. Okay? But some things in our life really are just plain trash. Some things in our life are just plain trash, and some things can be used by others, but they are no longer useful to you. The difference is we try to think that everything we have is still useful to us. Some things certainly should go to the curb because they're trash. But some things could go to, say, the Goodwill or Salvation Army for someone else to use. But all these things need to go. People are thinking about the things that need to go right now physically, right? Well, Let's come down spiritually speaking street. Because the same is true. Spiritually speaking, there are some things that try to attach themselves to our lives that they are just plain trash. Spiritual garbage. Those things need to be kicked to the curb because they simply don't have a place in our lives. While we retain some things, other things have to be released. They have to be discarded. They have to be thrown away. Paul tells us in verse 2 that we are to focus our thoughts on heavenly things. That is to avoid getting caught up in the things of this world. Things that would clutter our minds and hinder our walk. Because if we allow our minds to focus on the things of this world, then our minds won't have time to give itself to the things of God. What's monopolizing your time? When you leave here, go to your apps and check how long you've actually been on the app for the day. Some of you, it'll surprise you. Some of it, it won't. Some of you, it'll cause you to be disheartened because you actually probably don't realize how much time you've wasted on an app. We have to look out for stinking thinking. Things that will clutter our mind, that will clutter our hinder our productivity and clutter our lives with just busyness. Yeah. Someone say distractions. Say it again, distractions. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, he mentions dangerous distractions. Distractions that will hinder our walk if we allow them to. So let's explore for a moment what Paul tells us to avoid. He warns this early body of believers about individuals who will carry them off into false doctrinal beliefs. And we have to be on the lookout on today as well because the enemy would love nothing more than for God's people to get trapped, Mindy, in some false system of belief. See, anything that takes the emphasis off of Jesus, the attention off of Jesus, makes the enemy happy. Beware of false doctrines. The Apostle Paul tells us that the enemy introduces false doctrines through a variety of ways, and I'll share just a few of them with you so that you can understand that the devil is cunning and that he's always seeking to separate us from our clarity and understanding of Jesus Christ. He introduces doctrines through things like, or avenues like philosophies, which is referring to the wisdom of men. Yeah. Through vain deceits, which refers to those who deceive through trickery or slick talking. Through the traditions of men, just because people have believed something to be true does not make it true. And there are certain traditions that people have taken out of context, and they don't know why. It's just because the famous seven last words of the church, we never did it that way before. This is the way we've always done it, so we'll keep doing it that way. I'm going to give you something for free. This isn't in my notes. But because we're going to take communion today, anyone know why? Rick can't answer this question. Anyone know why they used to, or still do in some places, use a drape to cover the communion table? Well, in the Bible days, there were no windows in churches. There were no windows in churches. Yeah. We talk back here at MCC. That was my Lily. I know that voice anywhere. There were no windows in churches, so they would take burlap sacks because they didn't have fine communion dishes like we have. And the burlap sacks were simply to keep the flies out of the wine. But depending on what church and denomination you go to today, if that table isn't covered, they think you've committed blasphemy. Traditions of men. That was for free. And also through the principles of the world. This is when believers fall away from the mature faith to accept a simplistic doctrine. Tony, they say stuff like, make it easy for me. I want a simple religion, they say. And if you listen to some of today's high-profile preachers, you might hear some of the very things that Paul warned the Colossians about actually being taught from the pulpit today. We are to avoid false doctrine at all cost. An old challenge for this coming new year is to learn how to separate some things. Learn how to separate the things that are of God from the things that are of the world. And treat the things of the world like they of the world. I'll let you determine what, interpret what that meant. What things do you need to learn to let go? What things do you need to separate from? What things do you need to clean out? What things have you understood are now foundational for your life? And what things do you realize you need to separate from? Final challenge. Some things must be remembered. See, things remembered are indeed precious things. See, we oftentimes encounter things that take us back down memory lane. Maybe it's family pictures. Maybe it's pictures of mom and dad when they were young and vibrant. Or maybe it's pictures of the kids when they were little and cute before they became the food-devouring garbage disposals and money-burning people that they are now. I got two amens. All the kids said, really, Pastor DJ? So Paul tells us, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So yes, our photos and our family heirlooms are priceless, but the things of God are more precious. So what might some of those godly things be that we can easily remember? You guys know I like good questions. His peace. His forgiveness. His freedom. All these are easily remembered. And all these give us life. The Bible says if you won't forgive your brother, God in heaven won't forgive you. Whew. An old challenge for this coming new year is to know the things that must be remembered. And the things of God, his blessings. The blessings of God are yea and amen. And those are the things that we must always remember. And this leads us to verse 4 as I get ready to transition. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Listen, church, we live this life to live again. We would love it if we could just live and just walk into heaven like Enoch did, walk into eternity like he did, but that's probably not going to happen for most of us. But We are promised to be with him if we pursue a life that glorifies him. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So before you start declaring new year, new me, be sure to identify that your foundation is Jesus Christ. Be sure to identify what things you may need to separate from. And be sure to identify what things must be remembered. These are all old challenges that I simply want to remind you of today. And yes, I absolutely believe that a new year can mean a fresh start, but only if we stop making excuses, we take an inventory of our lives, we act in faith, we refocus our thoughts, and we trust God. So I challenge you to start there. And as you head into this new year, remember that it's a new year, but it's the same God. Each of us should meet every challenge head on. Do our best to abide by God's word, and most of all, do our best to be like Jesus. And I want us to remember that because God did so much for us, it's not just that we owe him. We should have a desire to pursue him. We should have a desire that our lives reflect his. We may be the only Jesus that what? Some people may ever see. So our lives should look like that. Our walk should look like that. The things that we do should resemble Christ, Jody, in our words, in our deeds, in our actions. And God did so much for us. He did so much for us that we could never repay. He gave us his son. I love you guys, but I don't know if I could give you, Christian. He gave us his son. And as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, I have to ask this question. And that question is there anyone here in this room that has not accepted Jesus as your Savior? I know we don't normally go here, but we got one service today. We got a little bit of time. And this is not to embarrass you. In fact, every eye closed, every head bowed. Please, please. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just want you to slip your hand up while nobody's looking. If you don't know for sure that if you die today, you go to heaven, slip your hand up while no one's looking, because I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to make you come down. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we believe that you are Yeshua. You are the great I am. And it is because of you that we live, we move, and we have our being. So, Father, even now in the name of Jesus, for the hands that were raised, I want you to touch their heart. Show yourself to them in a strong way, in a mighty way, Father. Show them that you are with them in a mighty way, in a strong way, Father. And give them the courage and the clarity and the understanding that they need to know that they are in you and you are in them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please put those hands down. And let's praise God for salvation.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.